Hey, I'm Josh Barrow, your new host of Left, Right, and Center. Every week, join Rich Lowry, Bob Scheer, and me for a contentious yet civilized debate of the week's big political stories, from ISIS to the U.S. economy to this 47-candidate presidential election we're having. You can find Left, Right, and Center on KCRW's iTunes page.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. It is my honor to have sitting across from me, Vivica A. Fox. We know her from so many things. Gosh, was it almost 20 years ago that she blew up in such a big way in Independence Day and set it off? And so many great movies. Many of us love her from Soul Food. I had George on for the show. Her newest film is Six Ways to Die. First of all, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Hello there.
First of all, one of the things I've always wanted to say to you, first of all, it's a thrill to have you here, is that you have a thing for comedy of just basically turning everything into a line that could be a laugh line with just the way you twist it. And I've always wondered where that came from for you.
Gosh, I don't know. Growing up in my family was really fun and outgoing. I think it kind of came from that. And then when I first started acting, I was around a bunch of veterans from Tommy Davidson, Jamie Foxx. You know, we did Booty Call, my Oscar-winning performance in that.
I'm sorry, Listerine?
Listerine. And then just being around Tisha Campbell-Martin and Tashina and Martin. So I was around a lot of veterans, Steve Harvey, you know, Cedric the Entertainer.
Hey, your first films, you work with the Wayans family.
Yeah.
Don't be a menace.
The Wayans family, yes, absolutely.
But still, there's a difference, though, between somebody who's around a bunch of funny people and somebody who knows how to make a line work. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen a lot of those people just sort of like crash in the mud before.
So of course I have.
I just wonder where it comes from for you, because you have a way of twisting the end of every line. I was just watching Six Ways, and I just kind of noticed that it was almost like these characters you're playing always kind of have a secret that they're keeping from people. I just wonder if that's a part of the way you work.
Never thought about it that way, to be very honest with you. I always just try to work a line and work a moment.
Sure.
More than anything else. I think the person that was very instrumental in teaching me that was Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jada used to always tell me, I remember when we were doing Set It Off, she was like, take your time. Take your moments. And I was so used to, I came from soap operas.
Yes.
So on soaps, you always made sure you had to get their line correct. And so I would be more focused on line reading than acting. And I think Set It Off, that's when it clicked for me as an actress.
Yeah?
Yeah, to take moments and make things happen.
That's interesting, because you think about soap opera stuff, there's so much about getting the line right, but also the soap opera pause at the end of the line so you can get that sting as you're staring
up. That moment. Well, soap operas was my very first job.
Yeah.
So my acting skills from when I very first started to like where I am now, where I've grown to, I mean, has been leaps and bounds. I would say when I did the soap opera, it was like going to acting school.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. It was like acting school 101.
But basically in soap operas, all you're trying to do is get the lines out, because they're all basically, every single line is moving the plot forward.
Absolutely.
So you don't really get a chance to do any character
stuff. Telling the story. And then also you're hitting your mark, learning to cry, kiss, look good, do a hair toss. So like I said, it was like going to acting school. It really was.
It's the truth. My guess, who probably spent way too much time on TV, soap operas, waiting for the phone to ring, which that's what you do in soap operas, is Vivica A. Fox. Her newest film is Six Ways to Die. But I think, though, that idea, seeing you in Set It Off, where there are a lot of big presences, you know, you've got Jada, you've got Queen Latifah, you've got a lot of
Kimberly Elise, directed by F. Gary Gray.
You've got a lot of big presences to work with. And that was his film after Friday.
Yes.
So that was a kind of a big moment for him, too.
Huge.
Yeah. What was your audition like for that? Do you remember that?
I actually auditioned for the role of T.T. and for the role of Frankie, because at the time, Rosie Perez was, they were in talks with her. So he said, you know what? I personally want you to be Frankie, but the studio is, you know, wanting to go with Rosie Perez, blah, 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 blah. And can you read for both of them?
Mm-hmm.
And I did T.T. fine. When I did Frankie, he was like, fingers crossed. And as it turned out, that was the role that really gave me my street cred. A lot of people saw me so differently, because I started off on soaps, Walking the Runway. Then from there, Patti LaBelle's Daughter. So I was always kind of like the cute, you know, like the cute chick in
the movie.
Even
in that show, Patti LaBelle, you basically kind of standing around with your arms crossed waiting for people to talk.
Exactly, so. Right. Yeah, I was just like the cute girlfriend side chick. And then when I did Set It Off, people was like, uh-oh, watch out now. Vivica can get gangster.
But where did that performance come from for you? Because it's...
Set it off? Every time when I do a role, I always get inspired by, say, someone that I know. So I played my brother, Sandy. And if you notice, I was watching Set It Off the other day when it came on. I was somewhere, and there was a thing. My brother, Sandy, he has a thing about his hair. He can be looking like a bum, but every hair is always in place. I'm serious. Like, my brother, Sandy, always got to make sure his hairdo is whipped. So... Even though we were going through it, did you notice she was always combing her hair? She was always making sure her hair was tight. She always had little clips in her hair. So I always, like, when I did Soul Food, that character was inspired by my sister Shuggie, because my sister Shuggie is the oldest sister, and she's the glue that has always held our family together. So each character that I have played, I always try to be inspired by someone that I've known, that I've seen them live.
As you were talking about this, I was thinking about some of the characters that you played do have that kind of grounded quality that I think about in Soul Food or Kingdom Come, these people who are kind of like the common sense thing in the family.
Right.
You know, frankly, I don't know if she's real good on common sense. Frankie, I don't know.
Frankie had felt wronged in life and Set It Off. The main thing that she was concerned about was revenge.
Yeah.
She just wanted revenge. Like, I'm working at that bank. I'm counting money by hand for them. And they just fire me. They just did me wrong. So her whole thing was like, I'm ready to get back. The system done beat me up. Now I'm ready to get a bite out of the system.
But I'm going to go back to this again and say, so many of these people you play, it's like they've got this one thing that they're keeping to themselves. There's one piece of information that character is never going to give to the camera or to the audience.
Okay.
And I just wonder if that's something you think about too, because there's always a little something that you as an actress are kind of holding in check.
I think you just taught me an acting note, to be very honest with you.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They get that sense. Like, we can talk about A Six Ways to Die a little bit.
Yes.
And she's kind of holding back.
Yes,
she's got that last card hidden, waiting to sort of throw it down.
The big joker.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Never let them see all your cards, right?
Is that a part of the way you maybe even sort of subconsciously think about characters as something you want to keep to yourself? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I mean, you are putting me on the spot, because I've never thought about it that way. I just always try to think of whom does a character remind me of.
Sure.
So like when we did Six Ways to Die, we wanted to have a female version of Denzel Washington's character from Training Day. The director, Nadeem Samau, told me, he was like, Vivica, I want a female version of Denzel Washington's character from Training Day. And I said, Nadeem, okay, I like that. I like that you want her to be a corrupt cop who's conniving and manipulative and will take the boys down. And it was really fun to play Veronica Smith in Six Ways to Die. I hadn't played a detective in a long time since I did my show Missing on Lifetime, which I executive produced as well as starred on. And I loved the guns. Like, it used to blow the guys away how good I was with the gun. You know, and Independence Day, to the mom and Soul Food, you know, to the comedy and Booty Call. I've just been very, very blessed to have such versatility in my career. And I think that the versatility has led to my longevity.
But you're talking, again, for me, we can go back to the show on Lifetime, the show Missing. That
yes.
character, she always had something we didn't know about either. I mean, that was a big part of that character.
Nicole Smith.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big part.
Smiths.
But that character, too, was like holding on to something.
Nicole, she definitely had a lot going on with her.
Yes.
She had a lot of issues, to be very honest with you, that she was overcoming. And then also, I think, too, you know, being an African-American woman, having the blessings of playing such strong lead characters, it's always that gotta work twice as hard, gotta do it right, gotta be better than the rest. You know, I mean, that you put undue pressure on yourself.
Were you feeling that pressure from the beginning?
Oh, always. I always do as an African American, because I want everybody to be proud of me. I want them to be like, yo, sister, you did that.
Sure.
That's important for me.
Because as you're talking about this, I'm just wondering, some of these characters you played have been like, you're talking about representing for us.
Mm-hmm.
But you play so many characters who aren't exactly...
Oh, yeah. I played Elizabeth in Why Do Fools Fall in Love. She was a prostitute. She was working the streets for Frankie. She's like, that's my man. Frankie, you need a hit. Let me go get it for you, baby. but those characters are sometimes the best characters to play, because you get to totally go away from who you are as a person. When I played Elizabeth, You know, I had no vanity. I wanted my teeth stained. I wanted moles put on my face. I wanted a Jerry curl, and I wanted the Jerry curl to have gold tips. And I just wanted to be just, I wanted Vivica to totally disappear and for Elizabeth to appear. And I'll never forget being in the movie theater in New York City and when the scene that where he killed my dog. And the audience clapped after my scene. It was so fulfilling for me as an actress because it wasn't Vivica. It was like the performance and that character and what she went through. The audience was moved. And then the scene with me and Halle Berry where there was no dialogue and we were in there eating and people were just rolling by the way I ate. You know what I mean? That there was no dialogue needed to carry the scene.
No, you were working that plate. What was that like, since you bring that up, to play a real person? Because that's not something you had a chance to do very often.
No, I haven't. That was probably one of the only times that I've really played a real person. Well, what we did was that the director, Gregory Nava, who I recently just ran into while I was doing the sequel to Independence Day in New Mexico. But anyway, he showed us footage of the actual ladies. So okay. That helps. To use it as a reference point. You try not to copy them. You just try to capture their essence.
Well, you were a Frankie Lyman fan before. We should say that movie
story
of Frankie
Lyman.
Yes,
yeah. We all loved Frankie Lyman. I mean, I might not have known who he was until I really, really did the film, but of course I knew about his music.
And the funny thing was, too, that he was a gangster as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of these Frankie characters was something else.
Some of these characters you play have been associated, connected with gangsters, haven't they?
Yeah, oh, I know, huh? 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. Hey, speaking of six ways to die, six ways of, separation there. Good point.
But I guess what I like, too, is these characters you played, almost for me, getting back to that kind of thing of having a secret, I always have the sense these people have lives before the movie started and after mm-hmm. the movie goes on.
Right.
And I wonder for you if that is part of the way you prepare. You sort of say, are you going to build it out? So when we see these people, we're stepping into a day like any other day they've led.
Absolutely. Now, that's something that I did learn from F. Gary Gray.
Okay.
F. Gary Gray wanted to make sure that when we did set it off, the director set it off, that he made sure that our relationships made sense. What was our connections? What happened? So that was excellent to learn. That type of acting. So almost every project that I work on, I've kind of learned something.
What would you learn on Six Ways?
Six Ways, wow. That I could be a corrupt cop. That I had no problem being someone that could look you in the face, be very charming, and then rob you.
But I would almost say your character on Missing is somebody who sort of like she... The line kind of blurred between what was right and what was wrong for her. I mean, that happens a lot
missing,
of these characters.
Yeah, sometimes. She would go undercover.
But wouldn't you say that, too? I mean, she could sort of get lost in what was right and what was wrong.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then also she had the aid of the psychic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she had another element. She's like, did you see something? Please tell me if you saw something. Let me know. But we go in here so I can go on and handle this and if I can take a shortcut.
But you're bringing up something really interesting for me, which is the kind of question that I so often have for people of color, mm-hmm. which is how do you got to pick a role that makes sense to you.
True.
That you can do something in.
Yes.
But at the same time, you also, there's a certain kind of message that you give off that you impart just by being in something,
mm-hmm.
by being an actress of color. How do you end up like sorting between those two things?
Well, I don't do roles that I don't like.
Okay.
If I don't like it and I read the script and I feel like it's disrespectful, especially to my culture.
Sure.
I don't have a problem playing dark roles.
Okay.
Sometimes when you play dark characters, that's fine. But if I read something and go, absolutely not, this is buffoonery, this is disrespectful, I will definitely turn it down. You know, I get offered some scripts and I look at it and I'm like, absolutely not. I don't see myself as this. I don't want to see myself as this. And this isn't something that I'd even be interested in seeing, period. So I'm very honest with what works for me and what doesn't work for me. I don't mind challenging myself.
Sure.
But if it's something that I read and I'm offended by, I won't do it.
Was there a role that sort of almost crossed that line for you that you had to think twice about before you did it?
No. No, I've been very blessed. My career, I've played some amazing, amazing characters and been able to work with some fantastic people. The travels that I've went around the world have been like no other, and in that, being educated on different cultures and experiences has just been amazing, and I'm grateful. Went by very fast.
Did it?
Wow, them 20 years, just wow. Okay.
Well, this is going by pretty fast, so we're going to take a break. My guest is Vivica A. Fox. Her newest film as an actress is Six Ways to Die. I'm going to go check my hair. It's the treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
That's right.
This podcast is produced by KCRW, a nonprofit public radio station based in Santa Monica. KCRW is listener-supported. Help us continue to create and distribute our unique content. Go to kcrw.com/join to donate. And thanks.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My hair is laid. My guest is Vivica Fox. She's one of the stars of the new film, Six Ways to Die. But we're also talking about her career. And I guess what I always find so interesting about what you've done, and I wonder when this occurred to you, you've played so many characters, almost all of them, as a matter of fact, who are bigger than life.
Yes.
What is it about that aspect of you that you're able to bring out so easily as an actress?
Oh, I guess that because I'm a leader in general in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a stand-up kind of girl. It's how I was raised. My mother raised me to be a very strong woman that has morals. She raised us in the church, and I thank her for that. We was in the church a little bit too dang on much sometime for me.
All day Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. And Bible study and prayer service and choir rehearsal. Whenever the church doors was open, I think we ran over there.
I know that's
We
like...
lived across the street from the church, so there we have it.
Oh, okay. You had no place
so
else to go.
I would say the way that I was raised, and then also I'd never want to do anything that would embarrass my family or that my family would see and go, really? I think nowadays a lot of people have lost that they'll just do anything for the check. And there's just some things I will not do. You know, I've been offered a couple of things that I just was like, nah, I'll pass on that.
What was the first thing that your family saw that you did that they really responded to? What did they really like?
Gosh, soul food.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the one because it felt like home to them, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because the family was in Chicago and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, Midwest.
Detroit.
Yay, I know that's right. I know that's right.
But did you... Were you concerned that you couldn't do it because it was so different from such a big thing for you, such a big new thing for you to play somebody that big?
I was looking forward to the challenge when I did set it off. I was like, I can't wait for y'all to see this one. And when they kill me, oh, man, it's going to be so dope because I'm just so physical.
As we're talking about these things, though, I almost see the connection between Frankie in Set It Off and Veronica in Six Ways to Die. I mean, just these sort of...
Yeah, strong kick butt type of chicks.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, who like?
I know. I'd love playing them. I really do. Like, I will get in there and get dirty with you.
Did you? I mean, because I almost wonder if you watched movies as a kid where these women would just make entrances. You
oh
know?
My God, Pam Grier.
Yes,
my role model. I named my production company after.
No kidding. What's your production?
Foxy Brown Productions.
Of course it is.
And I got a chance to sit down and interview her. BET did this thing where you got to interview your icons and people that inspired you. And I damn near cried the whole interview because I just couldn't believe I was sitting across talking and have conversations with Pam Grier. I just love her.
And somebody else who's just really got her training by doing it rather than
yes, exactly,
than going to
another
school.
One. And it was just her destiny.
But when you saw Pam Grier and you start to talk to her, you must have realized that you guys had a lot in common.
Absolutely.
That you came from kind of the same kind of place and came out here and just sort of found that there was kind of a void for a certain kind of an actress.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
kind of,
absolutely. A strong, beautiful black woman that would kick your butt and you still wanted her.
Do you remember the first Pam Grier movie you saw? Was it Foxy Brown? Was
yes,
it
definitely Foxy Brown. Oh, wait a minute.
It wasn't
Which
Coffee?
One came out first?
Coffee came out.
Then there we have it. I just remember every time something with Pam Grier, it was like, yes, we're going to see that.
So then when you got to meet Quentin Tarantino for Kill Bill, I'm guessing you guys started talking about that immediately,
didn't
you?
Oh, of course we did. Yeah. And I mean, I'd love if I was to work with Quentin again, that he would do something for me like he did for Pam when they did...
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, yeah. I'd love for him to do something like that for me.
So what was that conversation like when you met with Quentin?
Well, the first time that I met with Quentin for Kill Bill, we had heard about the film. And I was like, can you guys get me an audition or something for that? And they were like, oh, we'll check into it. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, I got a call. And they're like, Quentin wants to meet you at a coffee shop. I was like, a coffee shop? And they're like, yeah, that's how he's doing with the people he's really interested in. I was like, oh, okay. So coffee shop, I went. They said, oh, it probably only lasts for half an hour. It lasted for an hour and a half. He was like, I like you. And then after that process, he got to come to your house to make sure that you weren't strung out or not or didn't have a place to stay. And at this time, I had this big honking 8,000 square foot house. And he walked in. He was like, is this your house? And needless to say, then he took me to China and tortured me for 6 months of training.
What was that training like?
The first 3 months, we had to be there from 9 to 5 every day. And I remember that I had to drive an hour because I lived way out in the valley. And we trained in Culver City. We trained 8 hours a day. At the end, I went from a size 10 to a size 2. We worked out 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Then we went to China and worked out 5 hours a day. No, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week over there for a month. And I couldn't hold on to the weight because that's all we were doing, was working out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was your first thought when you saw that script? What did you think about that character?
I wanted to do it. Okay. This is a must do. So I was like, oh, wow. He's at 222 pages. That's long. And I had a feeling, I was like, this might be cut up into two films. Because I was like, I've never read a script.
So you knew that even as you were reading the script, it might be two movies.
Yes. Yeah. I've never read a script. 222 pages. Normally, most scripts are 125, 130.
Sure.
222.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the truth. My guest, who certainly knows how to make a real estate dollar work for her, is
Vivica
A. Fox. And this film is an actress, is Six Ways to Die. So when you were talking to this director about this script, what was it that you saw in that script that made you, besides the fact, because again, we could sort of like say, for it could be Frankie 20 years later had she not met the end that she met in that movie. But did it feel like it's revisiting some material in some way? Because I can almost see, because it seems like to me, there's almost like you could connect those characters, Frankie and Veronica from Six Ways.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. You could definitely connect those two. That they were both trying to make the system work for them. Yeah. And then when the system didn't work for them, then it was like, well, vengeance is mine.
But
and I'm going to take it wearing some lipstick and some boots and shoot you.
And what are those jeans she's wearing?
You always got to make sure the jeans fit good. That's always any action star. The jeans got to fit good. Yeah, because you always get that moment where somebody's like, did you see the way them jeans fit? All right, Vivica.
This has been an education for me. But I just wonder, because you got to find a way, too, that character in some ways is similar to not make it seem like it's exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I was sort of saying that her playing it close to the vest, because Frankie didn't keep anything to herself.
No, she didn't.
And this character is always, again, there's always something hidden. And did you see that in the script, or did you decide to play it that way once you started to do
it? After the director and I, Nadim, sat down and talked about it, that we wanted her to be conniving and corrupt, but not so in your face with it, whereas Frankie was in your face with it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, she was manipulative. And believe it or not, playing a character like that, I kind of learned from Uma Thurman, kind of watching the way that she kind of worked things.
Really?
You know, yeah. I learned. Every person that I've worked with, I'm like a sponge. I just soak them in. I never hate. I congratulate. I'm like, wow, how you go to that place. And, you know, it's amazing to watch other actors get outside of themselves and play.
Because as you were talking, I was wondering if it was tough for you to do Why Do Fools Fall in Love and leave that character behind. So some of that.
No, honey. I was done with Elizabeth when I was over. That was, whew.
But you know what I mean? Somebody who's like that.
I mean,
that's that kind of downward spiral character.
Yeah.
That's got to be hard to go home after the end of the shooting day when doing that, isn't it?
No. Believe it or not, I was doing that and a sitcom at the same time. Yeah, I was working my tail off. I'll never forget that. I was working like every day.
Did you like having that much stuff to do? It must have been kind of hard.
I did. I mean, it was hard. It was hard, but I appreciated being busy and that we worked out my schedule for it all to work.
But it's got to be cool, too, that, you know, you're still being offered action stuff. And you were just saying to me, you're about to go off and do the sequel to Independence Day.
Yes,
now, right?
I've started. We've been filming it now for the last 2 months.
No kidding.
Yeah. Matter of fact, my bruises just healed from that. Another one. I was like, I'm always signing up for the physical stuff. But I think that's just growing up. I was an athlete. I played basketball, volleyball, track, and I was a cheerleader.
You
my
ran
dad
track?
Was an athlete. Oh, yeah.
What'd you run?
High jump, and I anchored the 440.
So, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Then I played guard, and then I was short when I first started high school, and then I grew like 6 inches, and then I could jump. So I was. By the time I was a senior, I played center.
Scared of you.
And I was blocking shots.
Let's talk a little bit about revisiting Independence Day. What was that like? Because there's been
talk. It's like a high school reunion.
Was it?
Yeah, especially because you got Jeff Goldblum back, Bill Pullman, Judd Hirsch. So when we all got together, I mean, we had a press junket and a year before it even comes out.
No kidding.
The international, people have been waiting on it for 15 years.
Sure.
So it was just awesome. And they've got Jesse T. Usher playing my son, Liam Hemsworth. They got some new young people that are coming on that are going to be like Generation Next is affected by the aliens. Cela Ward's going to play the president. And I was so thrilled when I got that call because I had been waiting on that call because they've been talking about doing a reunion or the sequel for the last 5 years. So by the time we finally got the call, I was like, yes!
Yeah, because they've been talking about it so much. And you just kind of wonder if it's ever going to happen.
And we don't have Will coming back, but it's okay. Because I believe the young man that's playing my son, Jesse T. Usher, Will gave us his blessings.
Who was a little boy in the first film?
No, he wasn't. I mean, the actor is.
But you know what I'm saying? But the character
yes, my
was.
Son, yes, playing Dylan.
I'm sorry. I'm just going by the
way. Yeah, absolutely. But they have a new young man that's playing my son. But he's just so charming and so sweet. And he's got so many endearing qualities to him. He's tall. He's a good-looking guy. He can act. He plays on the show, thank God. He plays on Survivor Remorse. He plays like a LeBron James character. And I just stepping back on that set was just going back down memory lane, a wonderful high school reunion with a little bit of the young whippersnappers added in.
What was the first day on the set like going back to Independence Day?
My first day on the set was scenes all by myself, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, but I was there with the director, the writer, and all of the crew. So they was like, Vivica, remember? Oh, my God. So they're very loyal. And that's what you love about the director, Roland Emmerich, is that he's very loyal. He has become the master of making these big sci-fi type of genre films. And he's still sweet. I thought he would come in and have the entourage of people. And he still was, you know, he's German. Vivica, so good to be working with you again. You know, I love you. You know, I love you. It's so good. After every take, you did so good. I'm so glad we're working again together, Vivica. Just love him.
Can you say what your character is doing 20 years later? Or can you not give that away?
She isn't grown up. She's no longer working on the pole.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yes. She's married, and she's now a hospital administrator, saving lives.
Ah.
So she's matured wonderfully.
Because so many people, you must have people coming. In fact, between Independence Day and Set It Off and Soul Food, which part do people talk to you about the most when they see you on the street or Kill Bill? Which
one? Set It Off.
Set It Off.
Yeah. Set It Off. Like every time I do a lot of motivational speaking, when I mention working on that film, it gets, because it's become like a cult classic. First of all, they love Set It Off. Then the second one that they love is Two Can Play That Game. And then the third is Independence Day. And then the list goes, and then Kill Bill. And then Booty Call comes in there, too.
See, I think Booty Call is a fun movie. You
know, it was hilarious. I loved working with Jamie and Tommy Davidson and Tamela Jones.
I always wonder why you don't get to play more comedy. Because what I was saying at the outset, that you managed to turn everything you play into like a slight comedic turn anyway. And Two Can Play That Game. And there's a period you're doing a lot of those kinds of comedies. I always wonder why. Do you consider yourself more a serious actress or a comedic actress? Again, not trying to put you on the spot, but you manage to find comedy in everything you do.
Yeah.
But it's honest. It's not like you're like playing these things for laughs.
I'm more of a drama actor, believe it or not, than comedy. Comedy's hard because comedy, it can either work or it doesn't. Whereas a drama, you can kind of, you know, say the lines and stuff. Comedy's hard because not everybody gets your humor. Or it may not be funny to you. Do you know what I mean? He's like, exactly.
Or not everybody can even do it. Which
or
is why
deliver.
I'm saying that idea that you're able to sort of find some comedy in all these characters. Sometimes it's a sly smile, like in Six Ways to Die. Sometimes it's sort of like the eye-rolling arms crossed, like in Soul Food. But you find a way to bring that kind of comic life to everything.
To everything I do. I love what I do. And sometimes you can see people, whether or not they're happy doing a role, whether they're in a good place. That camera don't lie. That's for dang on sure. You can see some actors and you're like, what is going on with them? You know? So the camera doesn't lie, but I really enjoy what I do. It's not forced. I just love what I do.
And we're out of time. I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're so very welcome. Thank you so much for being supportive of Six Ways to Die. We will be in theaters and on demand. So check out your girl Vivica Fox playing a corrupt cop in Six Ways to Die.
Okay, thank you for that. Our recording engineer who also makes us a show is Kat Yore.
It's edited
by
right.
Blake White, who's the associate producer. My hair is still late. It's the treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.